We study Psalm 56 tonight. Rather simple title. We put our trust in God. Could have said, in God we trust. Same thing, isn't it? But for us to say we put our trust in God, we might get distracted and not think about it. We need to be reminded. It's a given, isn't it? We need the Lord. Doesn't take much thought about what's going on in the world today to realize we need the Lord. And perhaps that's what he's telling us. I'm not going to say trying to tell us. Lord doesn't try to do anything. He does it. I'm getting more and more persuaded that that's what he's telling us. If we don't look to him, then we're in trouble, because he's our only help. There's not a man alive that could lead this nation right now in the way it needs to be. God has to do that. All right, with increasing threats from enemies looming on the horizon, this psalm may take on a fresh relevance that we may never have felt before. Thus, more reason to put trust in God. Now, many times we have said here of late that we need to keep our mind on things above, set our affection. Colossians chapter 3, set, if you then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. But we do have to be circumspect in our thinking, don't we? We do need to have some idea of what's going on around us. We do need to be aware of some of the dangers that we're facing so that we can make preparations and so forth. But ultimately, our dependence is upon the Lord to help us in whatever situation we're facing, big or small. Do you know it honors the Lord for you to carry the little things to him? He's not too busy. He can handle it. He can handle it. We can't. And so we need to cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. All right? This psalm is to the chief musician. We've spoken about that many times. Upon, here's a long word, isn't it? Janoth, what is that? Janoth Lem Rehoam, something like that. This may have been the title of a familiar tune. You know, in our hymn book, sometimes there's a subtitle that identifies the tune. You might be familiar with it, and so you can just look at that and know what the tune is. This might have been the case for that long word, but it has also been translated the silent dove in distant places. It's Michum of David. That is a golden psalm, like Psalm 16, in which is expressed the mystery of faith and trust in the midst of adversity. And then finally, when the Philistines took him, that is David, in Gath. And you find the record of that in 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 12. You might remember that was the time that David was fleeing from Saul. He went to Gath. They brought him before the king there, and he acted like he was mad. Let his spittle dribble down on his beard, and he scratched at the gate, and those kinds of things, appearing to be a madman. So this was a time when David was experiencing great fear. Now, I mentioned a few of the things about the way the world is, but if you set your mind on that for very long, you'd be fearful. And we don't know the half of it. Long time ago, one of my brother-in-laws had high security clearance and was in radar you know, radar detection and the Air Force. And he told me, you know, if you saw all the news reports that came in all over the world, you'd go crazy. Because all we get is filtered stuff. And there's a spin on it. And I don't say that to cause you to be any less confident. I'm just simply saying, more than ever, there's a need for us to set our affection on things above. There are so many things going on in the world. There are so many things to draw our heart away from God. There are so many things that are trying to claim our attention. There are so many things that come against us every day that we need that time of quiet solitude and thinking about our Lord and what He's done for us so that we can start out our day on a good note, asking Him for the help we need for whatever we face for that day. Now more than ever, we need that. I cannot stress it enough, and I hope you can appreciate that statement. And I hope you're doing something about it. Okay? All right. So after that long subtitle of describing the situation here, we find as David remembers his great fear before Achish, the king of Gath, he describes it as follows. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High." David is unburdening his complaint to the Lord. You know it's okay to do that. Now, you're not going to acquaint him with anything, are you? But he knows and he cares. And it'll help you relieve a lot of stress. I mean, stress itself just really can take a toll on us. All right? So David had many enemies, and he was no stranger in coming to God and begging to be heard in his complaint. Now, we're not talking about murmuring and complaining. We're just simply talking about unburdening your cares to the Lord. It's good for us. The Lord can handle it. Don't worry about overburdening the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You know, sometimes you might have a friend that comes to you quite often and with their troubles. And there's, you know, as much as we want to help, there's sometimes there's a lot, not very much that we can do. Okay? But, you know, it helps to lend an ear. You know, some folks talk about the ministry of your presence. Just being there for somebody and listening. And, you know, when men hear those kind of things, they want to fix it, don't they? They want to do something to fix it. But I understand that the sisters, now, when they say those kind of things, they just like to say it. They want you to listen. Okay? Now I realize there may be some crossover in that, but in general, you know, that's what we understand. But God can handle all our complaints, and He is the one that we need to be talking to on a regular basis. Oh, that fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. If you're suffering wrongfully, then you're enjoying fellowship with Christ. All right? David had many enemies. He was no stranger in coming to God, begging to be heard in his complaint. But he had also experienced God's mercy and deliverance many times. And as we've been studying through the Psalms, all the times that this is referred to. But it's good, isn't it? Listen, we need to talk about the good things the Lord's done for us. We need to share that. I love to hear that. The Lord's done something good for you. I like to hear about it, don't you? I don't like to hear about those other things. But if there's a need, I'll listen. But bless your hearts. David knew a lot about God's deliverances. Thus that experience, now, that experience, there's something to be gained from that. That experience has taught him that God is faithful. I can tell you that all day long, but when you experience it yourself, it will be precious to you. And it'll put wind in your sails. And it will strengthen you, and you'll find yourself stronger the next time something comes along. So we need to understand that through, you know, Paul said, I don't think I put it in here, but Paul said in Romans chapter 5, tribulation worketh patience, worketh patience, and patience experience. And there's something else there, isn't it? And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. All right, so these things help us. All right? So we need to realize that when we're facing something that's difficult, here's an opportunity to gain some experience in knowing something about the faithfulness of our God. So that experience taught David, that God is faithful. This is what is golden about this psalm. God is faithful and worthy of trust. A man will let you down. I'm not saying that they always will. I'm not saying that they intend to. But at some point, we come to our limitations. Not so with God. He's our helper and our strength. All right? Therefore, David says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Boy, those are precious words, aren't they? What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. David, you know, we've talked many times about how that David had a tremendous confidence in the Lord. To me, that's one of the first things that comes to mind when I think about David and his experience with the Lord. But this says, what time I am afraid. He didn't say, if I ever become afraid. No. He said, what time I am afraid. David experienced fear on a regular basis. But was he cowering in a corner somewhere? No, he said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Oh, that we could learn that lesson better. To trust in him. So many times, David was genuinely afraid in the presence of his enemies. So are we, right? I mean, we've got enemies, all right? I might get ahead of myself if I get too far with that, but we've got enemies just like David had. Now, we're not fighting the battles on a regular basis like David did, but we have battles to fight, don't we? And quite often, that enemy is bigger than we are. And we need the Lord. So it's not a bad thing to be in fear. It's a bad thing not to know what to do when you are afraid. We know where we need to go. The sooner we can turn to the Lord, the better off we'll be. Okay? So, David was fearful, so are we. And so was Jehoshaphat. Remember that king, Jehoshaphat? We love to talk about him, don't we? If nothing else, we just enjoy his name. But there was a time when the children of Ammon, all right, and, the other one, who's the other? The brother of Ammon. Anybody tell me? Anyway, those illegitimate sons of Lot. Okay? Ammonites. I'll think of the other one in a minute. Anyway, those nations were gathered against Israel. They were always a thorn in the side of Israel. And they were gathered together. And it says Jehoshaphat feared. But that's not all it said. Remember what he did? He set himself to seek the Lord. I can't think of a better pattern to follow when you're fearful than that. Because that's where your help is. That's where your sanity is going to come from. That's where your comfort's going to come from. That's where your strength is going to come from. And anything else you need. All right? So he says, and if we would go read that, the one of I encourage you to go read that when you get home. 2 Chronicles 20 and 3 is where it speaks about Jehoshaphat feared. He set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast, and all the people fasted with him. All the people were afraid. But bless your hearts, because they sought the Lord and his help, he granted them a marvelous, wonderful victory. They didn't even have to fight. The Lord went before them and fought their enemies for them. Do you know he delights in doing that? All right, so remember that. All right, so he feared. But faith had enabled him to reach out to God and find a strong hand to deliver him. He feared, but that fear did not cripple him. Remember that. Because fear sometimes just leaves us debilitated. We need to turn to the Lord. Start begging him for his help at that time. In his fear is when he reached, in his fear, he reached out to God for help. And our fear should do the same for us. No difference whatsoever, is it? Circumstances may be different, but the principle is still the same. We have great enemies today that might come in the form of problems. It might come in the form of whatever. But whatever the problem is, God is able to handle it. And he's willing to help us. So as soon as we realize our need, by faith, we should humble ourselves before God and call upon him. You know, that's a necessary element as well, isn't it? To humble ourselves before God. He hears those of a contrite and broken spirit. He hears them. He looks to them. So this is how faith responds to fear. And if we didn't say anything else tonight but that, that's a good assignment for us to take home and think about, isn't it? This is how faith responds to fear. And I wish I could tell you, you'll never have anything else in your life. Just trust the Lord and you'll never have anything else to fear. That's not truth. But I can tell you this. In every fear you'll ever have, God is able to deliver you. If we think about that, that helps and that calms our fears. And this is how we find the help that God chooses to give us. All right, verse 4. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Wow. That's quite a statement, isn't it? If you're listening to the news, if you're reading the newspaper, or whatever source you use for your news, there is plenty to cause you to fear what flesh can do unto us. You know, it's just kind of beyond me how the headline today could say 11 jet airliners are missing. How does that happen? Was from Libya. Well, we know how that can happen. Okay. And it just makes you wonder just, you know, what they're being prepared to do. All right? There's plenty of things in this world to cause us to fear what flesh could do unto us. But keeping our heart and our mind set upon the Lord is our sanity in troubled times. And I wish I could tell you it was different, but I can't. We are definitely in perilous times. For more reasons than I, you know, for more reasons today, many of which I wouldn't even have dreamed of a few years ago. And probably you feel the same way. You know, things happening nowadays, just can't imagine it happening in our country. But it is. And that's the reality we have to deal with. But thankfully, God is in control. He's on his throne. All right? So in God will I praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh could do it to me. David's love for God's word was extraordinary. You know that, don't you? I mean, all these psalms that David was blessed to write, and how he loved the Word of God. Okay? Talked about, you know, that Psalms 1, man, blessed is the man, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, that's the very first psalm. He speaks of that one. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. I tell you, if you're doing that, your soul's in good shape. David's love for God's word was extraordinary. Even that portion of it that he had in his day. Now think about that. He didn't have 66 books in his Bible. We do. And yet, and I think we talked about this a lot as we went through Psalm 119. How wonderful that what David did have was such a source of strength and delight for him. Don't you know it can be that way for you too? But you know what? You have to cultivate an appetite for it. And the best way to do that is to read it. Isn't that difficult? Can we climb that mountain? To make it a regular habit of reading this word? There's so many things the preacher never touches on that you might need, and that the Word of God will just feed those things that you need. I tell you, can't be emphasized enough. So even that portion that he had in his day, he had an extraordinary love for the Lord. And though Psalm 119 may have been written later than this, yet this proves to us in this psalm that he already had great admonition and trust in its truth, the truth of God's word. He demonstrated that many times. All right, trust in its truth and faithfulness, that it was his constant guide. All right, now we know that David made his mistakes, but we have a lot of good example in the life of David, don't we? Trusting in the Word of God, trusting in God, confidence in God, putting his trust in God. All right, in fear and in standing against his enemies. All right, remember the verse said, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. David had already learned much about men in the flesh. Why, he had already stood up against Goliath. Don't you love reading that account? I hesitate to call it a story. That is such a tremendous display of trust and confidence in the Lord. As good as you'll find in Scripture. This young man, who was just accustomed to looking after his father's few sheep, goes out against a seasoned warrior. And he wasn't trembling, wondering how this was going to come out. He had total confidence in the Lord delivering him. And the Lord did. Wonderfully. So he'd already stood up against Goliath when this was written. And perhaps that occasion inspired the old saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Thought about that a lot of times, haven't you? But regardless, David had been delivered so wonderfully that he no longer feared what flesh could do to him. Now, I'm sure David had a lot of concern about what he would have to go through. You know, like a lot of times we hear people talking about, I don't fear death. And they might say, well, I just fear what might be between here and there. And, you know, there's something to that. I don't think about that much, but there's something to that. We don't know what we're going to face. But God does. We don't know what we may have to suffer. But God does. You know, sometimes we sing that song, about tomorrow. Don't know about tomorrow. But God does. That's why we need to put our trust in Him. He knows what we need. However God chooses, He can help. Amen? All right. So David continues his complaint, saying in verse 5, every day, now he continues his complaint, speaking about these enemies that he had mentioned in the first two verses. He says, every day they wrest my words, they twist them. Okay? All their thoughts are against me for evil. Now David's not just whining. I mean, this was the life that he had to live there for a while. Okay? And what a weariness this is to one who wants to do what's right, but every day he had to face this twisting of his words by those who wanted to see him defeated and suffering. And no matter how sincere we may be today, there are those around us who would like to catch us in our words and accuse us. If no one else does, you can count on the devil being there as the accuser of our brethren. You know, maybe you don't have any enemies right now, but you've got one in the devil. You know, and what does Peter say? Be sober, vigilant. In other words, clear thinking. Think about what your surroundings are. Think about what you're facing. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Not a little lamb. Roaring lion. That's symbolic of power, isn't it? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth to and fro, seeking whom he may, or goeth about, seeking whom he may, what? That's what he wants to do. He's there. We need to realize it. Okay? Verse 6. They gather together. They gather themselves together. David's continuing his complaint to the Lord. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. David needed to be circumspect in his thinking, to be constantly aware of what they might do. Okay, and based upon 1 Peter 5 and 8, which we just quoted about your adversary the devil, we today must be so as well. You know, I know you know this, but I'll remind you. That's a real present danger, isn't it? Satan would like to pull us astray. Satan would like to get us off course. Satan would like to get our mind off of the Lord and fill us up with fears and doubts and all those kinds of things. I tell you, the battle, to a great extent, is in our mind, isn't it? Not that it's imaginary. It's very real. But if we keep our mind set on the Lord, we'll fare much better in this warfare. All right, verse 7. Shall they escape by iniquity? His enemies, that is. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Shall they escape? Are they going to get away with their evil deeds? Thank you. Will God just overlook those who have mistreated his people, hounded them, and caused them misery and grief? God just going to overlook that? David knows that God will deal with them. Do you know that tonight? I know you do. But we need to remember that, don't we? Oh, this old flesh wants to get something, whatever it can. But you'll be in much more peace if you can give it to the Lord. Forgiveness is such a tremendous thing, isn't it? You know, forgiveness literally means a release. In other words, just let it go. Let it go. Isn't that so hard to do sometimes? Let it go. You'll get peace. And the Lord will take care of it in just the right way. It'll never be right to follow iniquity. Now those his enemies, that's what they were following. But it will never be right to follow. In other words, it wouldn't be right to do what they're doing. You know that old expression, if you can't beat them, join them? No. That doesn't work in service to God. It's never right to follow iniquity. Trust God to make a way to escape. I gave you the reference, 1 Corinthians 10:13. You remember that? There's no temptation taken you, but it is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. If you're looking to him, if you're trusting him, if you're begging him for help, he will give you a way to escape. Believe that? Okay. That's the truth of God's word. All right. Now, I'm not saying you won't have troubles and trials. I'm saying in those difficult times, cast your cares upon him. Hold on to the Lord. He'll give you a way to escape. All right. Verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? You know, this gets to something we might think of as too small for the Lord to be mindful of. But it's in his word that even our tears, the Lord knows about them. As a bank teller counts money, so the Lord accounts for all the tears shed by his people. If he didn't say, are they not in thy book, I'm just going to take that for what it says, that God's mindful of them. I mean, he knows all things. Elsewhere, the Bible says that the very hairs of your head are numbered. To me, that's just another expression telling us that he knows all things. Don't count the Lord short. Don't count his care and his concern for us short. After all, he sent his only begotten Son to this world to suffer and die to save us from our sins. He that spared not his own Son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Lord loves us. He cares for us. You know, the disciples in that storm said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Nothing could have been further from the truth. Yes, he cared for them. He cared for us from before the foundation of the world. He sent his Son to secure our salvation. He sends his Spirit to our heart to make it known unto us. And he plants hope within us that someday when the trials of this life are over, we'll be with him in glory. Could he care anymore? I don't think so. I don't think so. But we need to think about it. We need to be reminded of it. It endears us to what he's already done for us and encourages us to hope in that which we have. As people in several cultures in the past would capture the tears of mourners in a bottle to either be kept or buried with the deceased, David uses this to speak of how the Lord has an account of all of our tears, and they're in his book. In other words, he knows. He's not going to forget him. Isn't that amazing? This speaks of God's tender love for his children, that he remembers all their tears. Now, the wanderings spoken of were not from God. Notice he said, "Thou tellest my wanderings." I'm not talking about wandering away from God, but all of his encounters as he had to flee from Saul and others. Saul was just the beginning, wasn't it? There's a lot of struggle that he had during that period of time. Then later on, even after he was king, he fled from Absalom. And the sword never departed from his house because of transgressions. David had a lot of sorrows, but he has a great God. Certainly, through all our trials and afflictions, God knows each one, and he remembers all of our tears. Just grasp that. Just think about that for a little bit. Isn't God good? I mean, you just think about something like we're talking about here, and just keep thinking about it for a while. Think about how good, merciful, kind, gracious, and loving God is. We don't think about that enough, but we should. So aren't you glad that he is all those things? And aren't you glad that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us? I tell you, what a day that'll be. All right? Verse 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. There's that experience again. Learning that God is faithful. Not just hearing the words, not just reading it in a book. Experiencing God's faithfulness and his deliverance on many, many occasions. And having a trust and a confidence in God. All right? Again, David had confidence that the Lord would deliver when he cried for help against his enemies to turn them back. By the Spirit, David knew God's love is constant. You know, we have the New Testament. Now, of course, we have Jeremiah as well. I've loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. But much of the love that we know, much of what we know about the love of God is in the New Testament, isn't it? Well, there's plenty in the Old, but much more of it in the New. And if you want to concentrate on the Apostle John and his writings, you'll find the bulk of it there. The love of God. Oh, I tell you, it's wonderful. We do have a wonderful and glorious God. And you can tell from the life of David in passages, and I didn't take the time to put any on here, but you can tell David understood. He had a hope that he would be with God in heaven, and he understood God's love was constant. All right. Verse 10, in God will I praise his word. This is similar to another verse that we've read, isn't it? In the Lord will I praise his word. It's interesting to look at the original words here. God, the first time you used God, is Elohim. That has the idea of God's justice. And then Lord, Jehovah, that word that they wouldn't even pronounce, the Jews wouldn't even pronounce it, was so holy, carries the idea of mercy. So to a Jew, this is like saying, for God's justice, I will praise his word. And for his mercies will I praise his word. This, like verse 4, has repetition, but more attributes of his glory are employed. God's word contains the promises and knowledge that inspires our faith to glory in him. There's no wasted repetition in the word of God. There are many ways that the same thing is given to us in, from different viewpoints, from different writers, and different circumstances, but we need them all, that we can grow line upon line, precept upon precept, right? Here a little, there a little, like Isaiah said. You know, that's how we grow. And when we're reading the Word of God, we're listening to preaching and meditating upon it, there's more and more the Spirit opens up to us. So, verse 11. In God have I put my trust. Here's more repetition, isn't it? I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Is this vain repetition? Friends, when you're in great trouble, I remember this, when you're in great trouble, you need to do as David. Repeat what you know about the source of your confidence and how God has delivered before. In other words, remind yourself of what you know. God is faithful. He's powerful. He's loving. He knows all about us. He knows what we need. All right? That builds confidence. Remind yourself of what you know. Trust God. Lean upon him. He's able to handle the situation. All right? This quiets fears and creates boldness. Okay? May we have such trust. We have the same God. Isn't that amazing? That same God, thousands of years ago, that the scripture records that came to the help of his people, he's still there today. And he'll be there for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and on and on and on till he comes again to take us home to be with him. the Ancient of Days. He's there for us, and he always will be. There'll come a time when Mom and Daddy's not there anymore. There'll come a time when maybe the dearest on earth has passed the scene of this life. But God will always be there. We can trust in him. Verse 12, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. Whether David is remembering that God had already anointed him to be the next king, or whether he's thinking of vows he made to the Lord, his idea is that he wanted to return faithfulness. See, he'd already learned through experience that God was faithful to him. He wanted to be faithful to God. That's a worthy goal, isn't it? That's a goal that will bring great blessings to us and great glory to his name. To me, that sounds like a prescription for success. To desire glory to God. We have that opportunity to return that to him every day. All right, verse 13. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? The Lord had spared David's life many times. Further, David knew that the Lord had anointed him to do a great work later. We'll emphasize that for a moment. Later. Don't you know? Well, I don't want to impose too much on David's character. If it was like me, he'd have been saying, woe is me. I'm already anointed king over Israel, and look what I'm having to deal with. That's probably what I would have been saying. God sent Samuel down there to the house of Jesse. You know, went through all of them. Nope, that's not even, nope, nope, nope. Don't you have another one? Brought David in. He was the one. He was anointed to be the next king. But boy, did it take a long time for that to come to pass, didn't it? And look at all the suffering that David had to endure and the patience that he had to have before he got there. Some have described that as the cross and then the crown. Kind of a picture of what Jesus had to go through. To much lesser degree. But nevertheless, David had a tremendous amount that he had to suffer and wait on the Lord. We don't like to do that, do we? Wait on the Lord. That's one of the last things we want to hear, isn't it? Wait on the Lord. Well, we understand biblical waiting, don't we? Biblical waiting is not sitting around doing nothing. Biblical waiting is serving while we're waiting for an answer. Remember? You know, you go to a restaurant, if they have a waiter, you don't want that waiter sitting there doing nothing, do you? You know, go tip him if he doesn't do that, right? You want him busy. You want him attending to whatever needs to be done. You want him to not have to come and ask, but to see and do it. Well, that's how we ought to be waiting on the Lord, serving, looking for opportunities, looking for ways that we can be of service to God's people, because when we serve God's people, we're serving God. Oh, we've got an epidemic of folks who want to serve themselves and want to be served today. And I mean that. It's epidemic. And it's not foreign to the house of the Lord either. We need to lay these things to heart. Yes, there's waiting on the Lord, but there's plenty of serving that we can do while we're waiting for an answer. So surely the Lord would keep his feet from falling. He'd preserved his life many times. Surely he's going to keep his feet from falling. But it was also his habit, that is David's habit, it was also his habit to give God praise and thanksgiving for all of those deliverances. So as angels sing God's glory, they have not felt the joy of deliverance. Now they're created to praise God. They're messenger angels, and they deliver their message. Okay? But the angels don't know the joy of deliverance. And by the way, I don't know if I put this in here, but, you know, in heaven, they won't be able to sing with us the glad redemption song. You know? They're not redeemed. But we are. And when we understand it perfectly, don't you know we'll be given some praise for what he's delivered us from? So as the angels sing God's glory, they have not felt the joy of deliverance. But mortals singing of God's mercy and deliverance through their wanderings here give great praise and glory to his name. And we ought to be doing that every day. So friends, may we be faithful to continue to trust God for deliverance and to sing his praises even before the face of our enemies if necessary. Because he's worthy of it. And I suppose tonight I've been made to think more about threats to this nation on our own soil than I ever have thought about in my lifetime. Now, some of you lived through some of the wars, and you've experienced that before. It's new for me. But I'm so thankful. God has blessed me to know he's over it all. He knows it all. And he's able to do whatever his will is in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men, and none can stay his hand or say to him, "What doest thou?" May God help us to put our trust in God. Any comments?